pre-recorded. Shalom, and welcome to another great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Yes, this is Sukkot, and this is your brother, Stefan Yah. We're going to read from Micah, then Isaiah chapter 9, and Luke chapter 2. So Micah chapter 4, and I think it was yesterday on this feast, we read Micah 4, and this is just a review. We read it the last time we met. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, and to the house of the mighty one of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Torah shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. The ruler of Israel, the governor, is coming, the Messiah. And here at this website, we call him Yahusha. Most people say Yeshua after the word Joshua in English. Isaiah now, Isaiah chapter 9, a familiar passage, for unto us a child is born. And we're reading primarily from the King James Version, making the corrections back to the underlying Hebrew that it should be, whenever possible. Yeshayahu, chapter 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yah, or the Mighty One, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall there be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of armies will perform this. We are tabernacling with Yahweh as we celebrate his birth, his incarnation, and as he tabernacled or dwelt with us. In Luke chapter 2, the Son of Yahweh the Father, Messiah, and dwelt with us. He tabernacled with us in Luke 2, and we're not going to read the entire story. Most of you old-timers already know this, but so as a bit of review, Luke 2, 6, verse 6, it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. So this is the Messiah here. She brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. And inferring that firstborn, that she did have other sons and daughters. And so laid him in a manger, and because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, or in the land, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So obviously this wasn't in the dead of winter at the solstice, but it was during this time of year that Messiah is being was born, I should say, approximately 2,000 years ago. Verse 8, and there were in the same land shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the messenger of Yahweh came upon them, and the esteem or the splendor of Yahweh shone round about them, and they were afraid sorely. And the messenger said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Yahusha, the Master. And then we go down in chapter 2 here, to verse 34, and a man of Yahweh who had dedicated himself to Yahweh is prophesying as he holds the newborn Savior. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Miriam his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And of course, that sign, he said he would only give one sign, the sign of the prophet Jonas, as Jonas was in the belly of the great fish 3 nights and 3 days, so also the Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth 3 nights and 3 days. And that was the sign spoken against, even to this day, when so many, including people in our own persuasion of the keepers of the seventh day, that they want to transfer that day from Sabbath to the first day of the week, calling it Sunday. That's the venerable day of the sun. Anyway, we're not challenging or arguing or contending with that and those people. Zechariah chapter 14, and we shall see and prove this out, during a process that Messiah was in the grave from Aviv 14 to Aviv 17 when he died. He rose from the grave, Aviv 17. So 14 he died and 17 he rose. So there, that's that. I already did this study right there. Zechariah 14, 16 through 20. And this is also a review of the Feast of Tabernacles that we did the other day. So we're just a portion here. Verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of armies, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Praise Yah, yes. We are praising Him in every way that we can. We can't all do certain things. We can't go to the temple. We can't go to Jerusalem, probably. There's a lot of civil unrest there. Yeshayahu 59, verse 20 now. That's Isaiah 59, verse 20. Shall we turn there, and then we'll move around in Isaiah. And it should be hopefully a clear night, looking for the Big Dipper tonight out there. The air will be clear and cool, and you will dwell in safety. Tabernacle in Sukkot with Yahweh. Verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith Yahweh. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahweh. This isn't the only place that he talks about his covenant. So here's one aspect of the covenant. My covenant, saith Yahweh, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, grandchildren, saith Yahweh, from henceforth and forever. Then turn back 10 chapters. Mathematically speaking, Isaiah 49, please. 4, verse 1. Yahweh has called me. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me. And then verse 22, down to 22. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles, and set up a standard to the people. And they shall bring their sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust off their feet, or the dust of their feet. And thou shalt know that I am Yahweh. There's his signature, I am. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Oh, yes, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that. And this feast is a type, a foreshadow of the end times and the millennium to come. So this represents this time here, the Feast of Tabernacles we are in. Sukkot represents the millennium period. And I hope I said that right. I didn't see anybody disagreeing. Yeshayahu 61, the Spirit of Yahweh, Elohim, is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. So that's no doubt a jubilee year there, I believe. in verse 2 of Yeshayahu 61, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, and to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified or magnified. And if you've been through a really hard trial in your life, maybe you're still going through a terrible trial, just think of this, the hope that he gives you, all these promises here, promises of curses and blessings, actually, in the word, but here's a beautiful promise of a blessing in that chapter, that eschatological, you know, we're thinking of the future now, this prophecy or prophetic time of the Feast of Sukkot. Yes, it's wonderful time. And so let's go to verse 4. And they shall build the old wastes, and they will raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named of the priests of Yahweh. See, that goes along with Revelation and 2 Peter. You'll be named the priests of Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Elohim. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their splendor shall you boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double. For your shame you shall have double. Whoa. And for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be upon them, shall be unto them. For I, Yahweh, love judgment. And then that continues there, but I'm going to break off and go now to 52, verse 6. We were just reading Isaiah 61, now to chapter 52. And we're kind of sashaying back and forth here. 52 verse 6, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. So that is very similar now to Isaiah 61 that we heard above there. Behold, it is I. And then verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings. Speaking of the Messiah here once again, the promised Savior who is to come. I think it's imminent. I believe that it's going to be really close when Yahweh returns. Could be in our lifetime quite, if now more than ever, this is the closest time of all the speculations of when he would return. If anything, this is the closest. We're coming up to the 7,000th year, the rest year. But I said that parenthetically because we're right in the middle of the scripture. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. It says in King James, God, thy Elohim reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With a voice together, they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh shall bring again Zion. Zion, of course, representing the whole of all Israel and of Yahweh's mountain that we are just reading. Bring forth unto joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Yerushalayim. And in chapter 60 again, the splendor of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my set apart place, or in Hebrew, Mikodesh, and I will make the place of my feet splendid, or it said they're glorious in the King James, which I try to avoid or stay away. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of Yahweh, Zion of the separated one of Israel. Well, that word glorious comes from a different origin that we would want to steer away from, but in Hebrew it's kavod, in Hebrew kavod there. And so it really would, and the equivalent in English should be more like splendid or beautiful, magnificent, and different adjectives. Then, let's continue. Verse 15 of chapter 60. Verse 15 here. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee. Yes, how the Jews have been insulted. There's so much anti-Semitism. So that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many nations. So that's going to be happening soon. Then let's skip down here in the text, in the King James, I'm reading, 21. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be magnified. That I may be exalted might be another translation of that, proper translation of that word there. Exalted. A little one shall become a thousand. So is that speaking of Messiah? Or is it speaking of a nation? A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. So there it is. And I, Yahweh, will hasten it in his time. That's the reading of Isaiah for now. And we're going to go to Matthew 25 now, about the wise virgins and the foolish virgin. Just a sampling from there, because you've probably all read that hundreds of times. And you've got to have your oil, the oil of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. If you don't have the Spirit, you need to be immersed in the Spirit. You need to be tubalt or rakats in the Spirit of Yahweh. So we're going to Matthew 25 in the New Testament. We all need oil in our lamps, and we need to keep our lamps trim. In other words, to be on guard and keep our spiritual life in order by the power of the Spirit, keep Yah's commandments. They're not grievous. They are a joy. Isn't this a joy? No. Somebody is saying, they're trying to pull my leg, saying that it's bondage, spiritual bondage. Well, all that I can understand. Too much fellowship and too much food, too much resting and too much recreation, enjoying too much. That's the Protestant preacher who defines this as bondage. So I wonder what his life is like, what it would take. Well, anyway, no contending now. I'm not supposed to do that. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather you to them that sell and buy for yourselves. But while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. That's the Messiah coming for his bride. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Master, Master, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore that you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Yes, we might know the season, we might know that we're really close, but we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when Yom Teruah, for example, the Feast of Trumpets, the announcing of the triumphal entry of Messiah, we don't know exactly what day that'll take place. Verse 28, take therefore the talent. Oh, this is about the talents then, what this was about. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents, for unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he hath. and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the story of the unprofitable servant is also found in that same chapter. And you can find the notes and these scriptures on the internet. So we need to display the fruit of the Spirit and not be an unprofitable servant and not fulfill the evil works of the flesh. Works are good, of course, obviously, because we've read everywhere else in Scripture that works are good. But somehow people have used Paul's writings to misinterpret or misconstrue or to confuse people, making them think that you're not supposed to do any works. Well, why do you go in a seminary and then they teach you that works are you're not supposed to sing or tithe? Well, see, there I am contending again. Yes, it's good to challenge each other at times in the good, right spirit, in a friendly manner mostly. Sometimes we have to be firm, though. Galatians 5:22 is the fruit of the Spirit, and Galatians 5:19 is the evil works of the flesh. So 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, shalom, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Messiahs have impaled the flesh with the affections and lusts. So we've crucified or impaled the flesh if we're in Messiah. Then let's go back to the Evangels or Gospels. Luke 19, verse 35b. And I'm just going to go straight ahead there. It's just 35 to 40. 35b in chapter 19. And they cast their garments upon the colt. So Messiah, this represents the Messiah entering in with the triumph of the Messiah riding in on the colt or the ass. They cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Messiah thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent to the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the emissaries began to rejoice and praise Yahweh with a loud voice. And in the King James, that's often called make a loud noise, but it really means to shout unto Yahweh. Wherever it says loud noise, it's not a cacophony of all kinds of confusion, but it's a loud voice, a harmonic voice of all, and it's not overpowering of our mental processes. It's not that loud. A loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the sovereign that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Shalom in heaven. And what was that word? It was splendor anyway. Splendor. Splendor in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples, or emissaries. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these who are praising him should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Rocks and stones would cry out. You know, there's a song that said, if you want joy, you have to jump for it. If you want joy, you have to clap for it. If you want joy, you have to shout for it. But it neglected to say the one thing that would really give you joy, or two things anyway. The first thing I can think of is the four-letter word starts with a P. If you want joy, you've got to pray for it. Another one might be you would obey Yahweh. And then he said, happy are these if you do these things, if you obey him, and referring to the foot washing during another feast, Passover. 1 Peter 2. So there's a lot of things we can talk about here, and we don't seek to confuse anybody by having TMI or too much information. But just kind of take it for what you can get out of it, okay? If I go too fast or too slow, which is probably the case. 1 Kefa chapter 2, wherefore laying aside, the Messiah is telling us here, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, we should desire the milk of the word. So that's Messiah we're referring to. Desire Yahweh's word. Why? that you may grow thereby. And if so, you have tasted that Yahweh is awesome. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed by men, but chosen of Yahweh and precious. You also are built up a spiritual house as lively stones, a separated priesthood, or purity of priesthood, to offer up spiritual offerings acceptable to Elohim by Yahusha HaMashiach, or by Elohim, Yeshua, by Messiah, and of course in the King James, Jesus. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So that's 1 Peter 2. And then next to Hebrews 5. And that word Jesus there was taken from the Greek, Iesus. And you could look up the origin of that word, where that originally came from. You could look up the origin of where Yeshua came from. And, you know, bringing salvation, Yahusha, bringing and announcing salvation, bringing the good news, but not so from the Greek. Hebrews 5, let's have some more milk. 5:8, speaking of our Savior, our governor, our commander-in-chief, Yahusha, rather. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, and that's not a Jehovah's Witness doctrine, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him, called of Yahweh a high priest, or an high priest, it says, after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yahweh. Now there's nothing wrong with those of us who want to be reminded. Those of us here in the choir, we got to hear the first principles of the oracle of Yahweh. But then, what does he say? You have become such as have need of only milk and not of strong meat. Yeah, I want to go deep for those stronger teachings. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Now, maybe that word milk only should be used there, or exclusively. For everyone that uses milk exclusively is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So that was from Hebrews 5. And it is not a statement about nutrition at all. Some are not so sure about using any kind of milk, except for babes, as it says here. But once you're past the state of being weaned, or an animal is past that state, then they're not to use milk, according to some the newer and better nutritionists. And also the meat would represent food, but not necessarily animal flesh. So, but we don't all prescribe to that, and need to look into it a little bit more. You know, send me a tape. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Peter 2 now. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Now for a season, though, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Yeah, remember that. That guy at your job, that girl who walked over you and got the promotion, and they passed you over. You remember the time that because of the Sabbath your family left you? Remember the time that you wouldn't keep Christmas or birthdays and no one paid any more attention to you? Well, those are manifold temptations. Not the everyday things that just happen in life, that we're tempted by this or that necessarily to spend our money or something like that, but these spiritual temptations is being referred to here in the book. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. So your spiritual walk is being tried by, you know, those who are, might be testing you all the time. Satan might be causing this. So tried with fire, and you might be found unto praise and honor, and another word for glory, and splendor, honor and splendor, something like that, at the appearing of Yahusha HaMashiach, the Savior, whom having not seen, you love him, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of splendor. Yes, we definitely exalt him. Receiving the end of your faith. Now, that doesn't mean that your faith is done away with any more than the end of the law means that the law was done away with for good, because Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to look at the foundations of where these teachings started in the first part of the book, the scriptures. Receiving the end of your faith. So what does that word end mean? It means the goal of your faith or the purpose. Just as the end of the law means the purpose of the law. For example, yes, it does. Receiving the end of your faith or the purpose of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So we read that in 1 Peter 2. And then we've got to hold fast. So let's go on to Revelation chapter 2. And there's so much to cover here that I do skip over some of the notes there at times, but virtually covering every one, at least partly. In Revelation, what is it? Oh, chapter 2, okay. 2:24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. Now, if you took that just to isolate that scripture in face value, then, you know, there's hardly anything left to talk about. But we have to hear what the Spirit is saying here, that, you know, you've the assembly of Thyatira is almost complete, except for a few things, or except for that one thing of getting into the doctrine of Satan. Verse 25, the next verse, but that which you have already, hold fast to that until I come. So the faith that you have, where you're at, hold fast onto that and keep building until Messiah said that he would come. And he that overcomes and keeps my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he, or you, you shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the assemblies. So that was chapter 2 then, to the assembly of Thyatira. And none of us are close to being that perfect. But if we were, then he would tell us, hold fast to all the doctrines that you have, that you've got it down now. Hold fast until I come, the Messiah said. Then to Philadelphia, or Philly, and also the assembly of Laodicea in chapter 3, verse 10. Messiah is again speaking, and of course, probably in red here in your version, in the color of red or something. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my Elohim, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my Elohim, and the name of the city of my Elohim, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my Elohim, or from the Father, and I will write upon him my new name. So there's two names there, New Jerusalem, and the new name, written down in splendor. It is mine, it is mine. Verse 13, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the assemblies. And unto the messenger of the assembly of the Laodiceans, write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Yahweh. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you're the first church of the frigid air, for example. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of it, nothing. Need of nothing more. I've got my SUV, I've got my charge card, my get-out-of-jail-free card. No, you don't have everything you need. You need Yahweh's word. You need his word to convict you in the power of the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Ruach HaKadosh, as with the evidence there spoken in the book of Acts. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. I counsel you to buy white raiment. We don't buy it with money or gold, but we pray unto Yahweh that please grant unto us your mercy, forgive us for our iniquities, our transgressions, our sins, and clothe us in white raiment. Wash away our sins and clothe us then with white raiment after we repent. Okay, then back to the scripture. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. We don't want to be spiritually naked either. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So he's also speaking symbolically here. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And there's the big six-letter word that is a taboo word anymore in the churches, repenting. And there's still a lot of good ones, though, a lot of good places to hear Yahweh's word. They're not perfect. As long as they speak the word in truth as much as they know, or as long as they walk in the right spirit. So, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Messiah says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the assemblies. Yes, our Yahweh, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he doesn't want you to be defiled by any spiritual pollution, by the evil doctrines of the Nicolaitans or the Babylonians or the even of apostate Romans or even apostate Jews, for that matter. And then we look ahead to Isaiah, or Yeshayahu 65. I don't know how much Hebrew that you know, and it doesn't really matter how much you do or don't. We're about 38 or less minutes into this service today for the Feast of Tabernacles. Might be a good point to stop and take a little break there and come back, okay? During this feast, and praise Yahweh. We just want to come together and pray and rejoice and have great fellowship in sincerity and in truth. And as he works in our lives, he will circumcise our hearts and write his law, his commandments, in our foreheads. Let's go to Genesis 3, though, first of all, and then we'll go back to that. Speaking of Adam and Eve there, and talking about the tree of life, that's why I'm reading this. In chapter 3, verse 20 of Bereshit, verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Hava, because she was the mother of all living. That's H-A-V-A-H in the English letters, but from the Hebrew, Hava. Unto Adam also and to his wife did Yahweh Elohim make coats of skins and clothe them. So he's clothing them with righteousness. And Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Yes, that he needs to not live forever, but he lived a normal life as long as people lived in those days. I guess, which really wasn't that long. It was, you know, several hundred years, maybe 800 or so at the most, 8 or 9. So it goes pretty fast. So I need to figure out, let's see, we were in Revelation and now we're going to Isaiah 65. Okay, there it is. Yeshayahu 65:17. It's all prophetic, it's all future, and it's, you know, an assembly or a church or a synagogue without prophecy or without the blood of the Lamb is dead. Without the Spirit is dead. So there's quite a few elements. Without the Torah, it's dead, because there's no conviction. Without the Spirit, no conviction. Without the heart, without the love of Yahweh, without prophecy, what have you got to look forward to? Now people say, oh, well, I'm not going to set dates, I don't care. Well, that's being so lukewarm, so Laodicean-like. For behold, I create new heavens, verse 17, new heavens and a new earth. So this is all futuristic, or prophetic. A great new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into your mind, but you will be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing and her people joyful, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. So that was Isaiah 65, and if you go on, you could read the end of that, verses 22 and 23. From one Sabbath to another, and one new moon to another, shall all flesh, in the future days, shall all flesh come to praise Yahweh on the new moon's Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, not a shadow of looking back, but to come, says Colossians 2. And also speaking of that, in the past, in the Old Testament times, that the Sabbath and new moons and feast days were to be kept. And we see here that in the future, the new moon, Sabbaths, and feast days, the commandments, statutes, and judgments will all be kept in the future. So what is wrong? Why is this so-called dispensation any different? Somebody said, well, because we're between dispensations or something. I think there's all kinds of alibis and lies, too. And also in that chapter 65, before we leave it and go to chapter 30, about Yahweh speaking behind us, the word behind us, we also notice that in verse 3, about the people who were so stubborn that they won't give up the pork chop. A people that which eat swine's flesh, or pork chops, and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Well, it's hard to get away from that, you know. In our food supply today, you'll find pork and a lot of things. But we look for the kosher symbol. It's a U with a circle around it. Or sometimes there's a K. There's other symbols too, as you learn, as you go along. Have your have your brothers and sisters who've been around in this longer help you in that. Isaiah 30 now, verse 21, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. So we're speaking of the way here, of Yahweh's way. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. Yes, it's almost that way, almost that clear, that he almost tells us, you know, even which direction to turn, to the right, to Jerusalem, or to the left. And it's a time, it says there in Isaiah 65 again, when the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my separated mountain, and all the mountain of purity, saith Yahweh. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my Kodesh mountain, the Hebrew word Kodesh. And then back up to Revelation for a moment, just for one portion here. Revelation 20, verse 6, C, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my purity. saith Yahweh, in all my pure mountain, I should say. So that's reflecting Isaiah 65. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my mountain of purity, saith Yahweh. Revelation 20, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my mountain of purity, saith Yahweh. Isaiah 65 with Revelation 20, verse 6. Then, boy, I'm looking forward to Yahweh, to the future, and during this feast, actually, I'm looking forward to jumping into the shower as well. And I think I'm going to go out and look for the stars tonight and see if I can find that Big Dipper. And you know the joke about that, that you go outside and somebody says, look through the arm and the coat. You look through the, he puts a coat up there and you're looking up through the arm, and then he pours a dipper of water down. That was a mean trick. Isaiah chapter 4. No, I don't think those are good ideas. That's not a good idea to do that. Isaiah chapter 4. And you could read on after verse 2 here, but it says, in that day, seven women shall take, so that's symbolic, the seven women shall take hold of one man, symbolic of the Messiah, the Savior, the King, and commonly called Yeshua, or here we use the Hebrew word Yahusha, which is from the scriptures. In that day, seven women taking hold of one man, the Messiah, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. So he takes away our sins. Actually, I better turn to that, and then I'll get Revelation 21 here in a moment. Uno momento. So Isaiah 4. And I do like the Tree of Life as well on most of these. Sometimes it's inaccurate. Slightly, but there is no perfect version. Here it is, chapter 4 now. And in that day, seven women, so a future time here. Verse 2, in that day shall the branch of Yahweh be beautiful. So that's symbolic again of Messiah. The branch is one of his signatures. The branch of Yahweh will be beautiful and kavod, or splendid, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. The fruit of the earth. It shall come to pass that he is left in Zion, and he that remains in Jerusalem shall be called Kodesh, or pure. Everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Yeah, we got to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We got to be saved. We got to call on his name. Yes, we want to eat from the Tree of Life. When Yahweh shall have washed away the filth of the daughter of Zion, that's you and me, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. Yes, a bloodbath is coming. And Yahweh will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the splendid creation shall be a defense. I'm not sure if I'm reading that right, but upon all the kavod shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat. There shall be a sukkot in the daytime, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. Then up to Revelation 21, I notice the Tree of Life version is just about word for word here from the King James. Oops. And I'll read portions of this. It's very beautiful and poetic and encouraging. Chapters 21 and 22, but we could take all day to read this, and you could do that back at your Sukkot, if you don't mind. And here, you wanted me to speak up a little louder, huh? Okay. Well, I'll just get closer to the microphone. And here's what it says. In verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, Yochanan, saw the separated city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the Sukkot of Yahweh is with men, and he will tabernacle with them. And they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away, are done away with. See also Isaiah 25, verse 8, that we read here, and that we will be reading too during the week, during the eight-day feast. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Aleph and Tav, is how that should read, not Alpha and Omega. Even the Tree of Life version failed to correct that, did not use the Grecian terms, because in the originals there is proof that it was all in Hebrew originally. I am Aleph and Tav, and it would make a big difference because of the Grecian mindset. The Western mindset is spiritually inferior to the Hebraic, more separated, pure Kodesh mindset. We need to separate from idolatry, from the mixture of Babylon. And, okay, stop that and start verse 5. And he that, praise Yah, he sat upon the throne and said, Behold, I'll make all things new. Right, for these words are true and faithful. It is done, he said. I am Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So much for the Baptist theory there at Moody, that God just loves everybody, or Elohim loves everybody, and he's universal salvation. No, that's so much for that. No, it's not true that some will have to. They don't want to be in heaven anyway. They'd rather enjoy playing cards with the devil, right? Well, there will not be a card game. And there came unto me one of the seven messengers which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. So that's us. Kind of a feminine term there, isn't it? But us guys, you know, but we're part of the bride of Messiah. It's okay. There's masculine terms, too. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, John said here, writing in the Spirit, by inspiration, by the Spirit of Yahweh. He showed me that great city, the separated city of Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Yahweh. When I say separated, I mean separated from the religions of the world, and only the pure religion, the pure faith of Yahweh. None of us are 100% pure, but we want to be, and we're going to be. Yahweh will make us pure. He'll do it. He'll make sure that we are completely acceptable in the sight of the Father by the blood sacrifice of Yahusha HaMashiach, the Savior. Verse 11, having the kavod of Yahweh, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even as a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 messengers, names written upon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west were 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 emissaries or apostles of the Lamb, Lamb representing Messiah. And then you can keep reading there for yourself in your study. And then to verse 22, I saw no temple therein, for the Master Elohim Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. It didn't have a need of it. It doesn't mean it wasn't there. But to shine in it, for the esteem of Yahweh did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth bring their esteem, their splendor, their honor, And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the esteem and honor of all nations into it. There shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Yeah. Oh, praise his name. So that's the end of Revelation 21. And what encouragement and inspiration. What a beautiful poetic book this is. And I am really excited, really inspired to walk upon the high places of Yahweh, not the high places of some Elohim or religion out there, or even Jewish tradition or other traditions of other customs and faiths, but of Yahweh's ways. And it's seems like it's not so easy sometimes, but it really is. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes, and you will find rest for your soul. So if we don't, we won't find his Sabbath rest unless we are trusting in Yahweh. Not by works we are saved, but by his righteousness. Not by works of any kind that we would do, but by his righteousness. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 says, for by grace, or by, it should be by unmerited favor, or divine favor, or something like that, by favor are you saved. By grace are you saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah unto good works. So good works do take a play in there, but so many people are against the word works, and they're also against the word religion. Pure and vain religion is this, the care and feeding orphans and keeping oneself unspotted from the world. That's in the New Testament, in the book of James, and maybe chapter 1. So we've almost come to an hour, but we still have Deuteronomy 30 and Revelation 22. So I'm going to read part of Deuteronomy 30 right now, verse 3. That's Debarim 3. That then, Yahweh, thy Elohim, will turn thy captivity. Are you in captivity right now? Are you in bondage? Or are you in liberty and turned free by the law, by the Spirit, by the word of Yahweh, by the blood of Messiah? Have you been unshackled? You haven't been if you're not keeping his law. You're still in bondage by breaking it. By breaking the law, you are guilty. For the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. It is not subject to the law, neither indeed can be. That's Romans 8:7. So here we go. Deuteronomy 30, that thy Yahweh, thy Elohim, will turn thy captivity. In other words, he's going to set us free. And he will have compassion upon thee, and I will return and gather thee from all the nations, whether Yahweh thy Elohim has scattered thee. And Yahweh thy Elohim will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed. So he'll circumcise your children's hearts, just like he says there in Ezekiel 36:26. And Hebrews 8, verse 10, to love Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. I'm so used to hearing the religious radio stations that say the word religion is taboo, and here we find it as a good thing, mentioned twice or maybe more in a uplifting or a good positive way. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So they talked about the curse of the law. You don't want to be keeping the law, because that's the curse. No, they don't talk about the blessing of the law. Here it is, the blessing and the cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So choose obedience. Choose his way. It's not my way or the highway. It's not it's my kitchen. It's not that. It's not my vacation, my kitchen, my bedroom life. No, Yahweh is invited into every part of my life, even the bedroom, the kitchen, and the vacation. And all of it, 24/7, Yahweh reigning in my heart. How about you? Then verse 20 of Devarim 30. Verse 20, that thou mayest love Yahweh. So the word love here is not a New Testament only thing. Thou mayest love Yahweh thy Elohim, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land, or may dwell in the land, which Yahweh sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Praise Yah! Oh, yes, the showers of blessing are coming. Not only the one down there by the tent that's got the heater in it. Those are nice showers, too. But the showers of blessing, a refreshing, a blessed rain that will come down. Oh, send down the rain, Yah. Send down the rain. Send down the Ruach HaKadosh rain. And the beautiful mountains, how beautiful are the feet of he that brings us good news. Going to Revelation 22 next, and I'm going to try to read from the Tree of Life version. And then we are through, actually, with only a little bit over an hour here. And that's really short. Very, very short. And sleep in security tonight. Sleep in slumber in Yahweh's arms. He is our protector. But we do security here for him as well. And we're not negligent about this, but sleep in under the stars in your Sukkot tonight. Or some of you have trailers and cabins too. A tent made out of canvas isn't necessarily the scriptural description either. It's found in Leviticus 23 and the building the Sukkots, by the way. I say, and be up early and for the prayer and share time, and get your names on that sign-up sheet. Please observe the dress code. No grass skirts, guys or girls, and 0% cleavage. I don't know about the guys there, but anyway, the other ones, 0% on that, please. Modesty is the word here. And you need to stay in good health with good food, good rest, nutrition. No stress, no sweat. Well, maybe a little bit when you put your name on the sign-up sheet. There'll be a little bit of sweat there, and I'm going to work in the kitchen as long as they don't throw me out the window again for my belief. be in good health. Prosper and be in good health. The Feast of Tabernacle. These days, we're able to work. On the high days, we are not able to prepare food or vacuum the church or anything because we're renting it from somebody else. We got to be out before sunset. We're not supposed to do that vacuuming, period. The leaders are afraid often to make any waves and stir up the coals about this vacuuming and working and preparing and cleaning up. Don't do that on the Sabbath days. Regardless of what the leaders tell you, I'm going to be different. I stand up, and they don't like it. They don't like the fact that I'm not the people here, I don't think, but anyway, those who are into this, we've got to expedite. We've got to be, for everybody's convenience, we have to break Yahweh's law. No, there's no exception there. No exception for that. Except for Passover, we are allowed on the high days to prepare food. That's the only feast. The laws pertaining to one feast are not transferable to another. Like, for example, Atonement, we don't fast at all the other feasts. And, okay, I don't have to make more a point about that, but prepare food early for the high days. So there's the last great day coming up, so you can prepare for that. If it's a double Sabbath, if it's the great high day, the last great day, and then the next day being the Sabbath, you can prepare easily for 2 days. As far as I'm concerned, I don't need to eat at all. Plenty of liquid refreshment. But, I can bring my own. I can bring all kinds of prepared foods that are They're not necessarily boxed or canned, so it's not going to kill me for just a day. But we're gonna have a succulent meal on that high day that will be prepared by our wonderful servers the day before. And for those who came in late, don't worry about that. Just no sweat, you know. Don't be all stressed out or anything. Even when you leave here, don't grieve when you leave, okay? And try to celebrate all 8 days. Some go home, you know, I know this. They go shopping or go to work or something, and they say, well, my employer this year, I didn't find out soon enough to tell him I had a day off. So that's another case, maybe, or of course, health always could be the rationale there. The alibi of health. If you're in the hospital with your leg up in a sling, then just come up for the high days. Revelation 22, as we finish up now, reading from the Tree of Life there. The messenger showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb down the middle of the city street. On either side of the river was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb, and they use the word G-O-D here, and I put it for its correct rendition. The throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb shall be in the city, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Night shall be no more, and people will have no need of lamplight or sunlight. And then they put Adonai Elohim. I'm going to replace that. For Yahweh Elohim will shine on them, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then it says, Messiah is coming. Verse 6. He said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. Yahuwah, Elohim of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his messenger. Yahweh, the Elohim of the spirits of the prophets, sent his messenger, not angel, to show his servants what must happen soon. Behold, I am coming soon, he says. How fortunate. I can't believe they use that word. That's a pagan word, but how blessed, I believe, is the word, the proper word there. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, Yochanan, or John, am the one hearing and seeing these things, and when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel or messenger showing me these things, but he tells me, see that you do not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and those keeping the words of this book. So I'm one of your brothers, the messenger said. He's, you know, we're even going to judge messengers in the eternity. Yeah, when we get on the other side. So then, 10, he tells me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do righteousness, and the pure still be pure. Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to pay back each one according to his deeds. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. How blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. Now, there's an expression. To wash our robes means to apply to the blood of Messiah and be justified or made right, more correctly, by the shed blood of the Messiah, that cross, or I should say gnarly stake or tree, 2,000 years ago at Calvary in the land. How blessed are those so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Yahusha, here it says Yeshua, have from the text, I have sent my messenger to testify these things to you for my communities. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Ruach and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes freely who wishes freely, take the water of life. Yes, the water of life from Messiah, Yahushua, Yeshua. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, Yahweh shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his share in the tree of life and in the pure city which are written in this book. The one giving testimony to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Is the word written there. And I've never actually gone back to the scrolls to find out. Amen, actually, would be more correct. Amen. Come, Master Yahusha. May the unmerited favor of Yahusha be with you all. Praise Yah. Well, let's hang around for the next event and fellowship, whatever that might be. And may you be richly blessed. Shalom. This has been a pre-recording by your brother Stefan Yah Eber. Stefan Yah of YahvahYahweh.name. That's www.YahvahYahweh.name. Shalom. Maranatha. Until he, Messiah, comes again. Shalom, my friend.